I was wondering if Swamiji would expand on, first of all, the etymology of the word Om going into the Avati Rakshasi and then dropping the T into Samsasarana. And then from there, Swamiji, connected up with the Ishwara's order and being able to handle and transform emotions.
Yeah.
And then I was going to keep asking Swamiji, probing.
So, as other words, Om is a word, Sanskrit word. There are many words which are directly from the root. Then there are words from the words already made. So this directly from the root, if you form a word, it is a type of, you have to add a type of pratyaya, type of suffix. So they are called krit pratyayas. And if you want to create out of this dhatu, out of a given dhatu, a word indicating the agent of the action which is the meaning of the root. All the root meanings are actions. And then the agent of the action, like walk, walker, talk, talker, that ER you add. Here also, the agent of the action of the root, ava. Ava, the meaning is to protect. Avat ava rakshane, in the sense of protection. Rakshanam, in protecting. And now, if you add the suffix man, is a suffix, kartari man, then you get now the protector you get. In English it will be protector, the one who protects. It's a wonderful word, the one who protects. Then you can extend it to the one who sustains, the one who is a source of blessing, grace. All these meanings we can give. Oh, ava plus man, te lopahada, an will go away. That's called ti. The last vowel and the consonant following is called ti in Paninian language. And the T is elided, then you have Av man. And the vakara will become U. A plus U, O. Phonetically. O. So it's a clean word. Sanskrit word is a beautiful word. Single syllable word. Then the Om is loaded by the Shastra, by the books, that A and Wu and Ma are loaded as the physical world, the Sukshma Prapancha and the Makara. Makara is the unmanifest, avyakrita and yakrita. That is loading. Deliberate loading. Like you pick a, you have a flag, it's completely loaded by the will of the people, standing for the constitution of the country, the stripes and stars. That is deliberate loading. Shastra also deliberately load this Om as a pratika. Pratika means sound symbol. So Om becomes a source of blessing. So that's entirely different thing. As a word we are talking now, it's all the same, but the word meaning is this, protector. What I say, when you are talking of Ishvara in the form of order, sustains everything, avati. So nothing outside that order. That's all. That is Rakshana. That's all within the maryada, within the order. Avati. But now if you take, there are very various forms. Once you are an adult, as a human being, you have will. You have will. You have a free will. Therefore, you can modify, you can change all that, it's because of your will, your will. The possibilities you can collapse by your will, desire and kriya, action, you can collapse a possibility. So that is will based. But if you take the animals, they don't have that kind of will. They are programmed, they are protected. They are highly protected. By their own swabhava, they are protected. Trees are protected until the human being interferes. They are protected. By nature. You call it nature, we call it Ishvara. Order. Nature is Ishvara. It's all intelligent order. Then you have the order of the Svabhava for human being. Free will is there. Order is there. With the order, the person has to understand. Because he is self-willed, self-conscious, self-judging, fear is there, all the time fear is there, need is there. All these are within the order. It's nothing outside the order. Because the freedom is given. Freedom can be abused, can be wrongly used or disused. And therefore, there is a danger to a child, by the abuse or disuse of a human will. Danger is there. So the child, the mother, can disuse, can disuse in a sense, doesn't care to know what is to be done, what is not to be done, doesn't undergo a training to be a mother. There is no training program anywhere. Just watch, like monkey mother watches the mother and it is instinctually knows exactly what to do. That allows the baby to hold on to itself. It doesn't push it. But here, the mother sometimes will allow the baby to crawl into her lap, and sometimes, get up. You can say. And that is a problem. And they, now you cannot, having given the freedom according to the law of karma, the individual jiva has got a human body, free will is given. Free will means it is subject to abuse and disuse and use. So it is respected. That's the order again. So the child is to be protected. then how to protect? The child needs mother, needs father, human child. So he has to be protected. So to protect the child alone you have this what we call avarana, this cover, hiding the pain of the child. You have to hide the pain of the child. How will you hide the pain? From the child, if there is pain, the child doesn't know all that. Even suppose the mother has a legitimate cause to be absent, the child doesn't know all that. That she has to go to work, that she has to go to market, that she is angry. He doesn't know all that. And therefore, so the neglect or even falling ill makes the child panicky. And therefore, so because the organism wants to survive, that is instinctually given. And therefore, naturally the pain will be there, and the pain death can be there. There's a crib death, like the pain death. The baby cannot handle. And therefore, what it is to be hidden away from the baby. This is what we call unconscious. How does it happen? Who does it? Only Ishvara does it. Avati Rakshati. So it's a sheer grace. I see it as a reality. This grace is a reality there. So the unconscious is supposed to be something negative. I don't use the word negative, but still I can now use it. So I can see it as grace. If it is grace, then we have to look at it as grace. To look at it as grace is reality. Is to be in touch with reality. Is to be alive to the reality. That is better expression. So to be alive to the reality of unconscious is to see any form of pain, emotional pain, as order. Ishvara's order. This is what I have been talking about these days. There is no other way. So the pain becomes the order of Ishvara. And at that time the pain is inevitable. The law cannot be changed. Because the very order is Ishvara. You can't ask the Ishvara to change the law. The law is Ishvara. But really Ishvara's order, if you understand, that pain is not something that you cannot really handle. Because you are connected. With Ishvara you are connected. Like the child is screaming, looking at an insect, then runs to mom. Mom is almighty. So with mom then it can come. It can come and look at the insect. So then she screams. So when she screams, that's when the damage begins to happen. because she screamed, didn't they? Then the man comes. He shouts. He calls for the security. So the circle is complete. It's all again further confusion. It's all confusion. Because you think they are almighty because they are able to walk, they are able to talk, they are everything, they are almighty. The almighty is, cannot fail. And therefore the child thinks there is something wrong with me. My brother pain. Then shut up. Then the child smiles. To win. Then again, it happens, it continuously happens for 5 years or something. 4.5 years is enough for the lifetime. Thank God it is over for 4.5 years. The court person. So these are called core issues. I find it is a, it just reveals the presence of Ishwara. How he protected the child. Therefore, Om is the best word for this. Om Avati Rakshatiti Om Kartari Man. And therefore, that Rakshanam you can see in the order. Rakshanam. And you can see that. You can see that very clearly. And therefore, if you can create a situation where the awareness of Ishwara is with you by accepting the reality, because if you are objective, there is Ishwara. Because Vyavaharikam is Ishwara. When you say Vyavaharika, the empirical reality is Ishwara. Therefore, whatever that is there is Ishwara. That is Vyavaharika. Whatever that is there is Ishwara. To arrive at whatever that is there is Ishwara, what do you do? So look at the world as world. Therefore, in my meditation, I just say, think of stars. So a few things I say, that's all you require. Let's say ocean, mountain, prairie. Things that they only evoke in you, wanting you, your subjectivity doesn't come. Things to which you are just objective. So the non-threatening situations you take, situations that don't evoke your wanting you, because the need is so big. Is always wanting you. Wanting to be different from what you are. That's all there. And mountains don't, unless you are a mountain climber. It can evoke. Oh, this I cannot tell. Oh. So, it may otherwise, that's why. Our people generally are not mountaineers. If they are mountaineers, they won't come here. They will be climbing the mountain. It's a different type of people. Let them climb mountains. So, what I say, that I just ask you to, that if you are, even if the mountains create in you some problem, then you be objective. Now I want you to be objective. Allow the mountains to be what they are. Oh, I want them to be green. All right. So do something to make the mountains green. No, I can't make them green. All right, this is how they are. You write letters to the forest department and asking them to do this afforestation. They won't do it. The fellow, you know, refuses to be happy. That's all. There are people who refuse to be happy. When they are refused to be happy, what can you do? Pray for them. Pray for yourself. So pray for yourself. Let me be objective. Oh Bhagavan, please make me objective. How to pray? You can complain about mountains because you are an environmentalist. Legitimately. So I am asking you to visualize mountains which are very verdurous, very, very green. So only those mountains visualize, okay? Why are you visualizing bald mountains and creating problems? They will visualize something nice. To be, all that we require is to be alive to the reality of the world. And so, then if you see things like this, I say, then I come to Sparsha, the people, and your own people and things. You know, suppose you have carpets in your house, and all those things you are attached to. And then naturally, your heart is all there, little bit everywhere. So you have to take them as they are. Things also. All of them sparsha. Sprishyante jisparsha. Bhakyaha. Sarve bhakyaha. Sarve vishyaha bhakyaha. All of them are outside my senses. My whole body is a sense organ. Therefore, what is outside the body is bhakya. But then certain bhakyas I am connected to. So with unconnected to, I can be very objective. Connected to people or things, I cannot be objective. Because unsettled accounts are there, old accounts are there, new accounts file up, concerns are there, anxieties are there. So health wise, any situation wise, money wise, varieties of. So how to be objective with these people? No meditator is there as long as these concerns are sitting there in your head. You are not with Ishvara. So you are with your own world. It is not Ishvara's world. Ishvara's world is what you are objective to. And therefore you be objective. See my scheme. It's a very well planned scheme. Looks very simple. And the truth is simple. It's not that I sat there one day and got the plan. This is how I see it. I see the reality of what is there. What is there is like this. And therefore, take it as it is. When you take it as it is, then people also take them as they are. If you feel helpless, pray for them. That's how you have to get rid of helplessness. See, what is helplessness? You want something to be in a certain way you want, and you cannot get it, and there is no way of getting it, you feel helpless. Then turns you to frustration. Therefore, what do? So frustration means you cannot do anything about it. It sits there in you. Then you want to meditate. The meditator is frustrated. And then you can't sit. It won't allow you to sit. It's a problem. And therefore, pray, act upon a wish. Then you have already acted upon. Either you feel helpless or you act upon. Praying also is an action. We have to understand praying is an action that you take. So when you pray that you are acting, you don't feel helpless otherwise. Otherwise you will feel helpless. And therefore you act upon. And then when you act upon, so that helplessness goes. You have done everything, pray for them. All are in their own spaces. Even outside is not necessary hereafter. Keep them outside means to feel something. So my mother, I can keep her outside. He is already outside. He's already. Therefore, allow them to be in their own spaces. In their own spaces. And you are in your own space. So you are alive to Ishvara. Really speaking, this is Ishvara. Without calling it Ishvara.
Swamiji, you had talked about this in a slightly different way also that I'd like Swamiji to walk on. And that is that when emotional pain comes into the mind, it can be caused by just innumerable cause-effect relationships. It could be by somebody in the present who's jealous of you or doesn't like you. It could be a violent parent. It could be so many things that causes emotional pain along with unconscious material. But Swamiji was talking about how this emotion, whatever it is, arises. You aren't doing it.
Yeah.
The emotion arises because of this interconnected cause-effect relationship.
Yeah.
And so then it becomes a matter of accepting, not pushing away, but accepting it as Ishvara.
Yeah, that's why I'm coming to that point. So once you have accepted the external world as it is, so with reference to Sparsha, with reference to your own people, your house, your car, your object, whatever, all of them, they are all there in their own places. So then I am here. I am here means my body is here. So even this body is objectified, visualized, and relaxed. It's just the tension goes. Then still further inside I go. It's all letting Ishvara be Ishvara. I have not brought in Ishvara so far. What is Vyavaharikam is Ishvara. This is all Vyavaharika. So my physical body is Vyavaharika. It has a reality. It is Vyavaharikam. So I am not withdrawing my connection to this body. I am only objective to this body. And therefore, the more I am objective, my concerns, the tensions, etc., all this resolve into my awareness of the reality of this body. So by visualizing it and all that. Then similarly, my prana, my hunger, my thirst, my health, my ill health, the lack of it, all of it, prana, symbolized by breathing. Then I go to the sensation of touch. That's also Bhagavan. That is also Ishvara. It is there. My focus is there now. Then that by focusing at the sensation of touch and keeping it as an occupation, for a few seconds at every point, then I get more objectivity, more dispassion. That means more Ishvara, less of me, more of Ishvara. I have to let Ishvara envelop me, pervade me, and then I bring in I look at my thoughts, then I am the basic conscious being. This conscious being is related to only Ishvara. There is no interpersonal relationship, and therefore my relationship to Ishvara is exactly your relationship to Ishvara. If you recognize individual, total, it is the same relationship. Every bug is related to Ishvara the same way. Individual, total. And I am connected. Because I am a human being, I can understand the presence of Ishvara. I can remain connected to Ishvara. There is no alienation. Alienation is a killer. All the pain is all alienation. Therefore, you have to go for this juggler, this alienation. There is no alienation. And nobody can take away from Ishvara's presence. My awareness of Ishvara is so total. All that is here, knowledge consciousness, all knowledge consciousness. That's all what is there. There is nothing more, nothing less. So my body included, mind included, senses included, and everything is one knowledge consciousness. How do you appreciate it? In the form of physical order, in the form of biological order, in the form of physiological order, I have some critical orders to cover all of them. Then I bring in the psychological order. It's all within the epistemological order. The order of dharma, the order of karma, all these orders. Anything you talk is going to be within the order. Even rubbish. You talk rubbish. Why? Because if you don't know this, what will you do? Yeah. That's the order. So, even rubbish talking, we can accept it. Given the background, it will be rubbish. Given the background, that will be rubbish. What else will be there? This is all rubbish. We can easily say that. Therefore, there is nothing rubbish. Everything is within the order. Then, that is, then afterwards you can bring finally the psychological order, because that is the order we have to deal with. Ishvara in the form of psychological order. How do I see the psychological order? You bring the pain, you remember the pain. So how to remember the pain? It's not difficult. So whatever that happened last time, when you were in great pain, you recollect the situation and the pain can surface. It may not be full pain, we don't need. This much is enough. Whatever that you can recollect, that's enough. The recollection also Ishvara's order. Recollect the pain and then look at this pain. You have the daring to recollect the pain consciously, correct? Already you are one step away from pain, correct? You are welcoming the pain. So when you welcome the pain, you are away from the pain. You are welcomer of the pain. How did you dare to do this? Because I am connected. I got Ishvara backing me. My awareness of Ishvara gives me strength. That is enormous word. The word enormous is not enough. So I can bear. I welcome. And therefore, so Ishvara becomes my sati. I am very much with Ishvara's order, his order. And there is no separation from my awareness, the presence of Ishvara in the form of order. You have to understand that way. From my awareness, the presence of Ishvara, all knowledge consciousness in the form of psychological order, in the form of emotion. Never away. So the pain that I imagined the pain is accommodated by me, is given accommodation right in mind. Generally we try to avoid the pain. We try to blame people for the pain. And we always think that it's very legitimate pain. It is a legitimate pain. In early childhood there was a legitimate pain. Afterwards it's all our own not understanding. Our own ignorance alone, pain. Childhood is it legitimate pain, that is Vyavahara, that is Ishvara, really. That is grace. Because there was no my will. My will was not there. And therefore only Ishvara was there. And the child was there. So I was at the lap of Ishvara, on the lap of Ishvara. Protected. Avati O. Correct? Avati O. Therefore only Om was there. There was nothing else. The child has no ego. Child has no choice. Child has no will. No interference with Ishvara. That's all. Only Bhagavan was there. It's a clean grace. So again, I see that now. That was all, pain was hidden away because the child did not have this awareness of Ishvara. Now as an adult I can have the awareness of Ishvara. Therefore, we don't need to hide it anymore. Correct? So I can surface it. So surfacing of pain with the awareness of the presence of Ishvara is the only means of getting rid of pain. There is no other way. I say it very clearly. There is no other method of dealing with emotional pain. It's all. So nobody can solve it also. only my awareness, one cannot solve it. My awareness of Ishvara will solve it. Because there is nothing to solve. It's all grace. Om is there. Only Om is there. For the child, Om is there. In our culture, the child is always equated to Ishvara. Always. Balavat, unmattavat. A wise person is considered to be a child. He is childlike. Because he is one with Ishvara. But in innocence, absence of ego, absence of scheming, planning, manipulating, all from pain. And whereas here there is only, so the voice, your voice and then the sense. What voice means what? So you are being aware of the presence of Ishvara. And what denies it? This would deny. And therefore the same. That child is called Bhagavan because no ego. Here there is no ego. There is only presence of ego. The ego only is functional ego, which is also controlled by the order, which is also within the order. The kartrutvam is an enlightened kartrutvam. It's given. The doership, enjoyership, all that. It's all automatic. And therefore, it is, what I say, I see this Upanishad talking about this in a particular way. Look at this. Savidvanete atmanagaspurunate. Savidvan, that vidvan, the person who is no more ignorant of I am, akartri brahma, that vidvan. Yete atmanam spurunate, atmanagaspurunate. These two. What are they two? They look upon it as Brahmatma. His Atma is Brahmatma. From which, out of which everything has come, by which everything is sustained, which is Deha, which is Prana, which is Mana, Manomaya, which is Vijnanamaya, which is Anandamaya. That Vidwan. The all Atmanam Spurunate. What? Kimaham Sadhuna Karavam. Kimaham papam akaravam iti. Why I did not do the right thing? Why I did the wrong thing? Kimaham sadhu na akaravam. Kimaham papam akaravam. Why did I do the wrong karma? Why did I not do the right thing? This. Nobody can get rid of this. Nobody can get rid of this guilt. You can have a confession. To a therapist you can confess. Or to a priest you can confess. Hoping everything is over, but then, no way. Guilt is always there. The only way to get rid of guilt is not seeing Atma as Asanga. That is the escape route. See the beauty of the Shastra. That is the escape route. I am Asanga. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Dissociation. Atmanam sprunute. All these feelings are myself. And the Self is Satyajnanam Anantam Brahma. Self is the whole. Akasa, Vayu, Agni, Apa, Prithvi. That is the Self, that is Ishvara. And within that, you see, that's why I said order, Ishvara's order. So this order of emotion, the word psychological has become some kind of a word for some people. Oh, psychological, you live in psychology, you live with emotions, you cry in emotions, you do mood by emotion. Everything, all entertainment is emotion, whole married life is emotion, and the whole bringing up children is emotion. The whole attachment to money, etc., power, all emotion. There is only emotion. Why commotion about emotion? There is nothing about emotion. And these people are, we should not have emotionalism. It's not just telling so many things, words. You can have emotion, but you should not have emotionalism. So you don't make a religion out of it. In the Purva, all emotions are Ishvara. So the beauty is Atmanam Sprunute. Vidwan Atmanam Sprunute. Atmanam Janati. He looks upon the emotions, this guilt, only one sample is given. It is the worst thing to have, and it cannot, one cannot get rid of it. And the person said, don't get rid of it. Ishvara is the whole thing. So it is all Ishvara. To say that, you need that order. The understanding of order. Even the word concept, I don't have any love for it. It becomes some kind of a subjective concept, an individual's concept. It's a reality, empirical reality. Emotions are empirical reality. And take them as they are and see them as same Parameshwara. So this is highlighting this emotion. And there is a beauty in this, because even in surfacing it, you are not a victim of the emotion. You have objectivity. And the looking at as order, then you are in order. You are in order. There is no question of my being not in order or outside order. Something wrong with me is always there for every child. Something wrong with me. This something wrong with me is a part of the order. That feeling is a part of the order. I don't say that also is wrong. Something wrong with me also is part of the order. So all that is there, so this, you can't move away from the awareness of Ishvara. There is nothing less to solve this human problem. Why everybody doesn't do this, and that's unfortunate. That's unfortunate. That's not our issue. You can't become a missionary for this. To be a missionary, you should become dumb. You should not know this kind of thing. If you know these things, then you become dumbfounded. Not dumb. That's, by the way, just one sentence. Yeah.
Swamiji. Swamiji, you know in the Keno Upanishad how they gave the whole teaching and then they told the story about the gods in the Keno Upanishad?
Yeah.
I want Swamiji to tell a story to highlight this. That would go something like this. For Swamiji, something happened that hurt Swamiji very much. You can make it up. Something happened, somebody was very jealous of you or cruel to you or mistook you. It created a pain rose in your mind.
Yeah.
How does Swamiji see the whole context? Exactly what goes on inside?
I don't want to tell the episode.
No, just pretend something.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, this episode was, I did something, according to me, the most beautiful thing. And so that, I mean, there was no personal ambition involved, there was nothing. So I was there, and then I did something for the people. The people, the devotees of the organization, they wanted to ask me, they asked me to create some kind of a tour. I organized a tour. And I wrote to all the people, you know, in various places. We had certain contacts. Those contacts, organization contacts. In fact, I founded all those centers. And therefore, I wrote all of them to organize certain things. And some satsang and things like that. And then that was misconstrued as some kind of a promotion of myself. And then it was cancelled. The thing was cancelled. I cannot cancel it because in another 3 days it has to go. So I received a telegram, cancel it. Now how to handle this? This was devastating for me at that time. You know, I was a brahmachari and then I have nothing else. I have dedicated my life to this kind of work. And then I was editing Tyagi, I was proofreading, and I was buying the paper, I was finding the money, and I was packing the pen, and I was nothing, one person, it is a one man attack. One single person doing a whole 18 hours a day. I'll be doing the work and then go to sleep. Then wake up again, do the thing. This is how I was doing, then there was nobody else. And therefore, naturally you feel that when you put everything in one bag and you find that you are not understood, and somebody might have said something, this or whatever. So this was a big pain. Then I was always a good, Gayatri Upasaka. I was a Gayatri Upasaka. I used to do Gayatri in thousands daily. And therefore, I went into Gayatri. I created the safe zone. Through Gayatri I can go to a safe, secure zone in myself, comfort zone. And then from that zone I looked at this pain. What is this pain? What is it I am bothering about? It's nothing. I could see he doesn't do anything to me. What is it? Nothing. If some misunderstanding, you clear it. So, no pain here. If objectively you deal with it. So I dealt with it. Objectively. What was done, everything was explained, and then afterwards it's all gone. So that same thing I am now using it here. I don't teach anything that I don't see it clearly. I don't say that. These are all things that I see clearly. What I don't see, I will say I don't know what it is all about. Kundalini, if you say I don't know. My Kundalini is lying coiled. And I won't want to disturb it. I will say I don't know. I don't want to. Not I am interested. If there is a Kundalini, let it be there. Who cares? There are so many things in this body, this Kundalini also. We don't know all the entire anatomy and still we are using the anatomy. So we can understand what is the reality along with Kundalini. In Mithya there are so many things, we don't know all of them. But we require to know one thing, and that is Satyam that I am teaching. You are talking about some Mithya that will rise, and that which does not rise is Atma. That which does not go back is Atma. Doesn't tile down is Atma. That's what I am teaching. So,
can I give you the story, Swamiji?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Can I put the story?
No. I want to bring the story down a little bit to a different level.
Yeah.
Say somebody does something to me.
Yeah.
And misunderstands me somehow.
Yeah.
Or is angry at me, jealous, it creates in me a very hurt feeling. Now, I could do the usual of what's wrong with this person, blaming me, causing me so much pain. Or I could go, I'm in so much pain, where I come into relationship with the pain as the one who's hurt. All of these things that just reverberate and build on themselves. Or I could do what? What would Swamiji do? Not using Gayatri.
No, see, that there are two ways to do. We have to see that you are free. Then only you can do for others. You have to be free, unaffected. Then you can look at that person has a background. There is a background, there is a need, there is something, and therefore that you can address it. Objectively, in time, you can wait for it. For years, you can wait for that topic to surface and then go and can be resolved. Perhaps one can help, or one can pray for that person. So you leave the problem to the other person to solve. If you can help, in a position to help, you help. But you should be sought after for that help. And we generally begin helping without being sought after. That is why the problem. We begin helping, correcting people without being sought after. I don't help anybody unless I am sought after. I am talked to. I never extend my help to anybody. That's why in my teaching also there is no advice. Even in meditation, I will use I, not I close my eyes softly. I will say, I close my eyes, I will say. I don't want to manipulate you. You please sit down, close your eyes. These are all areas to manipulate people, to keep them under control. I refuse to do all that. I am quite aware of all this. What is manipulation? What is subtle way of controlling people? I don't need to control anybody. I don't want to control anybody. That's not what I'm teaching. Just love and care. That's what you have to do. I'm talking whether you are wise or otherwise. And love and care, that's enough. Why control?
Swamiji?
If there are some people who look up to you, then if you think that this may be useful to them, you tell something. Because you are in a position of a teacher. As a teacher, you have got some freedom to point out some omissions, some commissions. Otherwise, you don't need to do that also.
There's just one other little piece I want to get from Swamiji.
Yeah.
Around the story. And that is when the pain is there in the mind.
Yeah.
There can be, as I said, that reverberation, and then Swamiji was just talking about how to deal with and the attitude toward the person or the relationship that caused the pain. But then Swamiji had talked about something else also, in just how to be with that pain itself, just as Ishwara, because you really did not create the pain. There's so many things that came in to play to create that. And so it's a matter of just being with this aspect of Ishwara.
Yeah, that, you see, there is always pain inside. We have all pain inside. Something to happen outside to press the button. And different occasions, it surfaces. Therefore, somebody presses the button. You require that, perhaps, to bring the pain out. That is only a nimitta. So that's objectively we deal with, and so that's not an issue. Pain is inside. There is no pain from outside. That is why we have to stop blaming others, because others are not responsible for my pain. Emotional pain. Emotional pain is purely from oneself. This has to be accepted. I mean, not accepted, this has to be seen as a fact. Then only you have got vimochanam. Then you can be free from it. As long as you have been blaming, as long as one is blaming others, there is no chance for freeing oneself. So this itself takes a lot of maturity. Neither you have to blame yourself. That's why I'm saying. So when you don't blame others, the pendulum is, so this side, you blame yourself, which is also not good. Never, neither I blame myself nor I blame others, I see an order. That takes wisdom. That's what Vedanta is. It takes wisdom, just wisdom. Therefore, our Vedanta knowledge, we should, this is what is called practical Vedanta. There is no practical Vedanta. All that is here is Vedanta. And therefore, but still, if you want to work the practical, this is the one. The wisdom of Ishwara, being everything, that is what is important. All that is here is Ishwara, that is the definition of Brahman. There is a definition of Brahman. They will make a difference between Brahman and Ishwara. Definition of Brahman is Janmadhyasyataha. Janmadi asya yataha karanat. Yasmat karanat. Means asya jagataha, for this jagat, janma etc., creation etc., is from where? His birth, etc., coming into being, etc. Etc. means being there and then resolving back. Janmadi. Asya jagataha. Yataha. From which Brahman? That is Brahman. From which cause? That is Brahman. Effect is cause. That is Brahman. That is the definition. This is, and therefore, when this is the truth, then the empirical reality is Brahman, Ishwara. Then there used to order for our understanding. Yeah, you have to apply, say, apply the knowledge to bear upon a given situation. Our situation is pain situation. You bear upon the pain situation with the wisdom of Ishwara, the pain, you are not singled out. You are not singled out. Your destiny is not singling out. Your destiny perhaps created certain dumb situations. That's all what it can do. But now, you can look at the whole thing. As order. Even those situations are all by karma order. So here, you look at it with this awareness. Nothing is outside Ishvara, that awareness. So you don't move. Things enough, yeah. I have earned my...
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you.